Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Here we go, getting underway with the fourth and final hour on the penultimate workday of the week, Thursday edition, the Bobby Mac Show. Although, even though it is the bonus hour, we replicate what happened in the previous three. Let's do that. Grab the phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. My email address, very simply, bob@1063word.com. And by the way, if you missed it, the final keyword for today in the $1,000 bankroll contest, final keyword for today, hang on one second, I'll get the tone for you. There we go. Final keyword for today is zone. As in Pelosi and Schumer et al. Live in the Twilight Zone. Thank you. Just text ZONE, Z-O-N-E, to 72881. Get your name in the hat in the $1,000 bankroll contest. In on the text line this evening, 71307. Bob, what was the programming announcement that Tara made this morning? I missed it. No, that's next Tuesday. Not today, not Thursday, next Tuesday, I believe at 8 a.m., or right after the news at 8, Tara will have an important announcement to make about programming here at WORD. Bob, is Nancy Pelosi exhibiting signs of alcoholism? I'm just saying. She does have a tendency to slur words a lot. I know that. Yeah. Bobby, I guess Planned Parenthood doesn't understand that some of those babies will develop into women. That means they have rights as well. Talk about hypocrisy. Well, Bobby, about Nancy, that nasty old word deleted, needs to go back to the bar and lie to somebody who's drunk enough to believe her crazy junk. Nancy is stupid. Put it simply. Bob, Pelosi is a bitter drunk. Bobby, Nazi Pelosi reminds me of Foster Brooks. Remember him from the old Dean Martin show back in the day? Foster Brooks, he's always played a drunk on the show. She always sounds like she's sauced. And I think that catches me up with the text line. Gives me an opportunity to go to the phone and bring in John, who is in Greenville. Hi, John, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Bobby. Glad you are you doing well?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good. I'm beginning to hear Democrats saying that we had control when Trump took over. We had control of the Congress and the Senate for 2 years.
That's correct.
But we didn't know that our future president, Paul Ryan, was going to turn to be a Democrat.
Yeah, that did prove to be something of an impediment. That and the fact that for those 2 years, the president was constantly fighting off constant attacks from Mueller and everybody else on the left.
Right. And then the other Republicans that left and bailed out, they didn't support. And then the other ones, are they just afraid that they can't speak up? I mean, why can't anybody, every time they, I can understand when Pelosi says, we ought to pray, I'm going to pray for president. I'm sure she's praying, but she's probably praying, please get him out of the office so that we don't get caught in all the schemes that we did to try and malign him, and, you know, because we don't want him in there to tell the truth.
Well, did I'm wondering about this quote, too, John. Did Pelosi say she was praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, for President Trump, or did she say she was praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on President Trump? Inquiring minds want to know.
I think it's P-R-E-Y.
Yeah, I suspect that is closer to it. You know, I am critical of Lindsay for his open borders promotion in the past, but give credit where credit's due. Lindsay is no dummy, and I think Lindsay actually has a finger to the wind and sees which way things are going here. And that's why, I mean, typically Lindsay will navigate hard a starboard as he nears reelection, and all of a sudden he's the most conservative guy you ever saw. And we understand that as a tactic for campaigning. But he has really gone 180 degrees away from, you know, Trump is terrible and Trump is awful and being a never-Trumper, essentially, to now being one of those most outspoken on behalf of the president. And I think Lindsay understands, no matter who the Democrats run, whoever comes out of that clown car of 23 or 24 candidates is just going to be a designated victim for Trump in November of 2020. And I think Lindsay gets that and wants to be on board the Trump train.
Do you think he want to be president in 2024?
I don't know. You know, he went down that road last time and couldn't crack the barrier of 1% support. So maybe that's enough for him. If I had to guess, I would say that that Lindsay's dream job probably would be on the Supreme Court.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I I have my doubts about how that would work out as well, John.
You're right.
I appreciate the call, sir. I wish more of the so-called Republicans would take a lesson from Lindsay, and as the Colonel said in Vietnam in the Stanley Kubrick film, "Come on in for the big win."
You know? Yes.
Yeah, it would be nice to see. And imagine what the president could accomplish if all the Republicans were on board. And yet you've got guys like Amish, you know, a Republican congressman who says the president, who's the head of his own party, should be impeached. And what kind of moron is this guy?
Well, that's because I think he's dealing more with China than he is with us.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
He knows where he's going to end up.
Yep.
He's going to end up on the high end with a lot of money. He don't care who he steps on.
Yeah, and sadly, there are many in that same boat. Thank you, John. I appreciate the call. In on the text line as well this evening, 71307. Bobby, Lindsay has come to respect Trump because he knows Donald Trump is right. Bob, I think Pelosi is praying, but she's praying in the wrong direction. She's praying to Satan. It's the only thing she knows, evil. Wow, you say Foster Brooks, name any, this is, I'm sorry, that must be voice to text because it came in making no sense. Bob, ever since seeing Pelosi and Schumer together, you know, when they responded to President's State of the Union address or whatever it was they did, all I can think of is they remind me of the painting American Gothic. Yeah. Only not nearly as attractive. 6:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back. We'll be right back.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 20 after 6, bumper to bumper, here in the bonus hour in the Bobby Mac Show. In on my text line, Bob, referring to Lindsey Graham, I'm not pleased with his comments after the president's aid to farmers announcement. He said it's not good trade policy and not a permanent solution. Well, duh. How about telling everyone it's a bridge to the tariffs being successful and more domestically used goods? There's enough Democrats willing to say everything else. Bob, didn't Pelosi's daughter make a comment that her mom would eat you alive if you mess with her, which would make everyone else pray, P-R-E-Y, for Piranha Pelosi? And I think we have something just popped in here on the text line as well, if I can get the mouse to go there. Bob, the closer it gets to Election Day, the more flimsy Graham moves to the right. Yeah, that's what I was hinting at when I said he navigates hard to starboard the closer we get to Election Day. Bob, I know Nancy is old, but she knew Lewis and Clark? And I think that catches me up with the text line. What is up these days with Mickey D's? Anyway. McDonald's has expanded its empire with a new restaurant in Sweden, Jumpin' Yemeni, aimed at feeding bees to aid in helping a worldwide decline in the bee population. McDonald's in Scandinavia are hosting beehives on top of their restaurants, planting bee-friendly flowers at their restaurants, and now building the world's smallest McDonald's that functions as a hive. The little McD's was built by a master carpenter, complete with a drive-thru and a Golden Arches sign. Inside the building, bees are working away at making honey. With 37,000 Mickey D's worldwide, there is hope that all McDonald's restaurants will host a McHive in order to help the bee colonies. This is curious because we just heard the other day in Austria, now to aid people in getting passports that have been misplaced, lost, or whatever, you not only can go to the embassy, you also can go to McDonald's. Our microphones captured what it might sound like.
Thank you for visiting McDonald's Austria. May I take your order?
Yeah, can I get a McPassport?
Okay, that's one McPassport. Would you like some fries with that?
Yes, please, and a large Coke.
We will need to see your valid McCitizenship. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm unable to return home because I'm afraid of persecution for my political beliefs. Can I also get an order of McSylum?
That's one McPassport, an order of fries, one Coke, and a McSylum. Please pour forward.
Well, it could be what it might sound like. probably won't, but it might. Well, you got to say one thing about the unindicted co-conspirators so far. Brennan, Comey, Clapper, the rest. Former DCI, that is Director Central Intelligence, John Brennan put down his Muslim prayer rug briefly on Tuesday to falsely claim Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report actually further proves Donald Trump's campaign and the Russians worked together during the 2016 presidential election. Yeah, Brennan sent out a tweet. I subsequently learned from the Mueller report that there was a lot more evidence of collusion and obstruction of justice that was indicated in the misleading and highly politicized Barr memo. Your obvious fear of congressional action is warranted, and your dishonesty is appalling. And the president responded with a tweet, John Brennan on the Mueller probe. I don't know if I received bad information, but I think I suspected that there was more than there actually was. Well, he admits he was wrong. Congress should go back to work on drug prices, etc. Now, meantime, the author of that outstanding bestseller, A Higher Calling. Boy, does this guy reek with arrogance or not? Disgraced former FBI Director James Comey. In examining what he has said and done along the way during this whole business, it now appears that Comey might face some real serious legal problems. There was a piece today at Breitbart by John Nolte. The nine reasons James Comey might be in real legal jeopardy. Number one, Comey conducted a high-level investigation out of FBI headquarters. Now, I alluded to this earlier. It was Comey's decision to run the investigation of Hillary Clinton's email server and the counterintelligence probe of the Trump campaign out of his office at FBI headquarters in the Hoover Building, as opposed to having a field office handle it, which is the normal procedure. Reasons for this are obvious. You don't want political investigations at this level tainted by the hotbed of partisanship that is inside the Hoover Building. Conducting an investigation, any investigation, as Comey did, out of FBI headquarters, let alone the office of the director, is not by the book. In fact, it's so outside the book that current FBI Director Christopher Wray is implementing policy, according to reliable internal sources, that restores investigations exclusively to the field offices and prohibits headquarters from ever conducting investigations again. Number two, Comey grabbed authority he did not have to clear Hillary Clinton. To begin with, Hillary has every right to be furious with Comey for holding his unprincipled news conference back in July 2016, where he announced she would not be charged over the issues surrounding her homebrewed server. But he then went on to lay out a damning case against her recklessness and carelessness with classified material, even though it is highly unethical for anyone in law enforcement to lay out a case against someone who's not going to be charged. Three, the phony FISA warrant based on the phony Russian dossier, and we now know that Comey was well aware during the investigation of the source of the Steele dossier. Number four, the phony documentation in the FISA warrant that supposedly corroborated the Steele dossier. Number five, Comey launching a full counterintelligence operation against the Trump campaign based on a dossier that he knew was phony. Number six, Comey chose to spy on the Trump team rather than warn them, targeting U.S. citizens working for a presidential campaign with confidential sources, non-FBI undercover investigators, and FISA electronic surveillance is not normal. In fact, it's never been done before. There is no book for that either. Number seven, Comey leaked FBI materials to the media. Number eight, Comey publicly revealed an FBI counterintelligence operation while testifying before Congress. That's number nine. Comey's role in ensuring the phony dossier became the hook for the news media, so they'd continue to push their phony stories about Russia collusion right up until the Mueller report was released. So, yeah, Mr. Comey better have his attorneys on speed dial. He may need them. 6:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. When we come right back on the other side here in the bonus hour, today's edition of Boneheads in the News.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Dan.
Welcome back. Home stretch of the bonus hour here on Thursday. Tomorrow, of course, our big Memorial Day remembrance. You have somebody who has now passed on, who is a military veteran. You can memorialize them tomorrow on the show. We'll do that all during the Friday free-for-all tomorrow between 3 and 7. 24 before 7 o'clock. Here we go. Time for today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, indeedy. Well, we got some quite a few candidates today. Don't want to be on the road with this woman. She was in a stolen RV, led police on a crazy high-speed chase in L.A. on Tuesday, blowing through intersections, hitting trees, hitting cars, with almost the entire front of the RV smashed off. She also had two dogs with her. One of them said, "I'm out of here," and bailed. She eventually hit a house and took off with the other dog and then got arrested. Here's what it sounded like from the chopper description.
"No," I said, "you're not getting my bag." And then he fight.
Oh, sorry, here we go.
"Oh, just crashed right into the tree. Took off the whole front of the motorhome. See the dog right there trying to jump out. The dog, no, don't jump out. Dog jumped out. On the ground, stay with the dog. Yeah, we're going to go under the 101. He looks like too much speed. Oh, got cars coming off the off-ramp. Oh, no! Oh, just destroyed that car. And now they're calling the ground units off to quit chasing this guy.
Oh, sure.
Because the way he's driving, he just completely smashed into that car.
Actually,
coming
it was
up
a
to
woman.
A T-intersection here. Oh, he gets off the side of the road and right into the house. Hit the tree, almost rolled over. And he's out on foot running, and he has a dog in his hand. Dog's running with him."
Jeez. Some of the witnesses were concerned, not necessarily for the crazed driver, but certainly for the dogs.
"I was like, no, he was so sad. And I saw the other dog. It was really the saddest thing. I felt the most sad for the dog.
I didn't know it was this close, but then I noticed that the police helicopter was up, and I'm like, wow.
It's scary.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's nothing new. You just have to be aware and conscious of things going on in this world today."
That would be excellent advice.
And the report from today, both dogs will be just fine.
That's good. Good to hear. Well, just how much are material objects worth to you? This guy in Michigan apparently placed a pretty high value on his Louis Vuitton bag. He was mugged at gunpoint last week. The mugger wanted his $1,700 bag, but he refused to hand it over.
"No," I said, "you're not getting my bag." And then he fired a second shot. He goes, "Demand, give me your bag." And I said, "you're not getting my Louis Vuitton. I worked very hard for this, and this bag I've had forever. And I paid $1,700 for it," wow, "or thereabout. I love Louis Vuitton, and I saw this bag long before I could buy it, and I saved up my money to buy it. It means a lot to me, and it represents me." And it was just like, I wasn't about ready to relinquish my personal property. You could pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Well, I don't know if I want to go that far. You know, to his credit, the guy did save up for it and buy it. But, hey, is it worth your life, buddy? I mean, think about this for a minute. Now, here is a story that I find almost impossible to believe, but sadly it's true. A woman passed away in Virginia. She had stipulated in her will that her dog, which was perfectly healthy, be euthanized and laid to rest with her. What, she thinks she was Cleopatra and all the slaves have to come into the pyramid with you? The executor of the estate did have the dog euthanized and cremated. It was a Shih Tzu named Emma. Here's an employee at a shelter who tried to stop the whole thing.
We did suggest to them that they could sign the dog over on numerous occasions, you know, because it's a dog that we could easily find a home for. But ultimately, they came back in on March 22nd and redeemed the dog back.
It's not legal to put a dog, cremated remains, or an animal in a casket and bury them. I am licensed by the state of Virginia, so I have a license on the line with the Health Professions Board, so I cannot do it.
Whenever we're faced with euthanasia, it's a very emotional situation, and beyond everything that we talk about that we need to do ethically and that we've taken an oath to do, it's something we take home, too. You know, it weighs on us as professionals.
Yeah, I was telling Miss Moneypenny earlier when I had to have Miss Magnolia, one of my golden retrievers, put to sleep. The woman vet who was doing it was crying. So they do take it home with them. Well, parents in New Jersey are upset after finding out a teacher offered her students extra credit 6 weeks ago. Oh, there was a catch. She would give them extra credit if they bought a $20 ticket to a fundraiser. One of the moms didn't think too much of the idea.
About 6 weeks ago, extra credit was given in one of my children's classes in exchange for buying a $20 ticket to a fundraiser. The teacher sent a fundraising announcement to the class and encouraged her students to buy a ticket to an upcoming event for extra credit on their grade. At the end of the announcement, it said, "When you purchase your ticket, forward me your receipt so I can give you your extra credit." The day before this announcement went out, my child had asked the same teacher if they could do work for the class to get extra credit for the quarter, but my child was denied the opportunity because the teacher said she didn't give extra credit that late in the quarter.
So, didn't I just hear, by the way, that SATs are going to start giving additional points for diversity credits? Wow. Okay. Meantime, back to the my state of birth, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Guy on Monday arrested for making meth in his house. But he says, au contraire, it's all a big misunderstanding. He uses a chemistry set to make essential oils and lotions. Okay, that's your story? You're sticking to it?
Personally, I think I'm going to spend the rest of my life in here. I don't think I'm ever going to get out. If you want my honest opinion, I think they're going to bury me. They saw chemistry equipment, and they asked me if there's anything illegal to find in that house. I produce essential oils, soaps, and lotions and stuff of that nature. Every one of my neighbors know about the chemistry equipment, including my landlord.
Oh. Okay, well, good luck, buddy. By the way, the audio quality somewhat bad there because that was a jailhouse interview, as we say. How about this guy in Connecticut? He is wanted for failure to appear. He made a deal with the cops that he'd turn himself in. We are totally through the looking glass here, folks. 29-year-old Jose Sims, Torrington, Connecticut. He's wanted by the cops right now for failure to appear in court. So he offered the police a deal. He would turn himself in if his wanted poster on Facebook gets 15,000 likes. Cops took the deal and promoted it pretty extensively, and it looks like it's going to work out for law enforcement. The Facebook post with Jose's wanted poster hit 15,000 likes in less than one day. We'll see if Jose follows through on his end of the deal or not. Yeah, like you, I have my doubts. Guy in Washington State accidentally shot himself last month. And it gets worse from there. He shot himself in the junk. 27-year-old Cameron Wilson, a convicted felon who's not allowed to own a gun. Gee, you mean he ignored the fact that he's not allowed to own a... Well, no wonder he shouldn't have been around one. Instead of going straight to the ER, stopped off at a park to give a gun to the friend. Not exactly how I would prioritize things, but... Anyway, somehow the fact that he was hiding a bag of pot also slipped his mind. Police searched his car and found meth and a pair of bloody jeans. They also tacked on four charges, witness tampering and a bunch of other... What an idiot. How about this guy? Guy in Oregon hid inside of a bar last week until after it closed so he could keep drinking for free. Yeah, closed up the beach club about 3 in the morning. Owners picked up some activity going on in the closed bar from their security system, called the cops. There was 31-year-old Jason McIntyre having a high old time, literally. And finally, a cop in New York was investigating a report about a stolen truck on Tuesday when it drove right past him. He radioed to some other officers in the area to pull it over. All 4 people inside arrested. Oh, by the way, they also had crack, marijuana, painkillers, and an illegal handgun in the vehicle as well. There you go. There is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
14 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Welcome back. Closing minutes here, the bonus hour on the Thursday afternoon edition. In on the text line this afternoon, 71307. Bobby, I thought you said the key word for this hour was Zoom. It's not working. That's because Zoom is not the key word for this hour. It's Zone, Z-O-N-E. Bobby, my grandmother here in South Carolina was buried with her cat in a jar. It can be done. Yeah. What kind of vet is going to euthanize a perfectly healthy animal? And what kind of person is so egotistical that they're going to have their healthy dog killed to be buried with them? Jeez. Bobby, Paul from Moonville here. Nothing will ever happen to the Democrats. They're protected. Even the Republican Party hates Trump because he can't be bought. They're probably secretly wringing their hands, hoping you'll get impeached so they can have someone they can control. Face it, this administration is screwed. Well, maybe, maybe not. This is interesting today. Representative Matt Gaetz, this is just being released today, said on Monday, compelling evidence of FISA Act abuse will be coming out in a matter of days or weeks. Gaetz is a Republican from Florida. He was referring to the alleged existence of unreleased transcripts of recorded conversations between FBI informants and former Trump campaign associate George Papadopoulos. Gaetz said, and I quote, "I believe we are days, if not weeks, away for the most compelling evidence in the biggest political scandal in American history." You may remember former Congressman Trey Gowdy said on Sunday the FBI had withheld game-changing transcript material about Papadopoulos from the FISA court when they filed their applications targeting former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. At issue is that the FBI appears to have declined to present to the FISA court information that shows that a person did not do something wrong. In a courtroom, this would be referred to as exculpatory evidence. In other words, something showing the individual was not guilty of what they were being accused of. Gaetz said this means that the government only presented evidence that would cast Trump campaign associates in a bad light. They had evidence, presumably, that was against Papadopoulos and for him as well. What they won't be able to defend is that they never presented the exculpatory evidence to the FISA court. For a number of days now, Republicans have been building up anticipation for the president to declassify key documents related to the Russia investigation. Mark Meadows, Congressman North Carolina with the Freedom Caucus, said on Fox News on Monday that he spoke to the president about it recently and that declassification is right around the corner. GOP investigators have also griped about the FBI's reliance on the unverified Steele dossier in order to get the FISA court warrant on Carter Page and three renewals of it, while the Democrats, of course, have been busy defending the Bureau's actions. All this comes as Attorney General William Barr says he's working closely with Michael Horowitz, who is the DOJ Inspector General, in his FISA abuse probe, and that is expected to wrap up in the coming weeks. And, of course, he has now signed up U.S. Attorney John Durham from Connecticut to review the origins of the counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign. This is what Attorney General Barr means when he talks about them putting their thumb on the scale. The government has an obligation before a secret court where there is no defense attorney to present all of the exculpatory evidence that they are provided to the court. With the expectation of the transcript materials coming out, Congressman Getz said former FBI Director James Comey, former DNI Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, as well as former CIA Director John Brennan, are all going to say Papadopoulos might have known that he was being surveilled when he said none of this stuff was actually happening, but there's still no excuse for why this evidence was not presented before the court. You may remember Mr. Papadopoulos was never charged with conspiracy with the Russians. He was sentenced to 14 days in jail for lying to the FBI about his conversations with an FBI plant, a London-based professor who told Papadopoulos the Russians had damaging information about Hillary, blah, blah, blah. So we'll continue to follow this down the rabbit hole and see where we end up. Got to wrap things up for today. Looking forward to tomorrow. It always is a pretty moving day here on the Bobby Mack Show, pretty emotional day as folks call in to remember their loved ones who have served America. We do this in advance, of course, of the Memorial Day weekend and Memorial Day itself on Monday. So hope you can join us for that tomorrow. Have a great evening, and we'll see you back tomorrow afternoon at 3, right after El Rushbo. Till then, God bless.
That's all, folks.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye.
Goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye.
I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you. Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.